We are on the top of Kufir Ches Amar Aleph. We stopped sort of in mid-flow, not that there was any choice with the speed we had to use yesterday. But we were talking about the views of the Chachamim, and the Chachamim said, Ish Hayosher Bein of Yaseh. So that teaches me that Yisharos are the ones you could bring. Yisharos, which we took to mean only the Ola and the Shlamim. And that was the Nedarim and the Nedavos. And Rabbi Yehuda had said, Hayashar, right? He says, Rabbi Yehuda Amalach, Hiksiv Hayashar, or Abbein of Hudichsiv, Aval, Bebama Gedola, Filo Chavos Nami Likro. They said that's only when he says Hayashar, it's talking about what you do on a Bamas Yachid, not what you do on a Bamas Tzibur. On a Bamas Tzibur, you can bring everything, even if you are a Yachid personally. The Chachamim had said, Ish Hayashar Be'enov means that even on a Bamas Tzibur, when I'm in a communal Bama, you remain a Yachid. And which is really an interesting point, just philosophically, beyond the immediate Gemara. When I bring a Karban on a Bamas Tzibur, am I transformed into communal? Or am I still an individual? We know in the Beis HaMikdash, I am communal when I'm in the Beis HaMikdash. That we know. But does a Bamas Tzibur have the same transformative power? It seems to be a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim say you can only bring your personal karban when you're in the Bamas Tzibur. And Rabbi Yehuda said you could bring the communal. The Chachamim said you can only bring the personal. Ella, which brings us to the new part, the Ella Haksiv Ish, Lav lememer the ish yisharosu de likrov hachavas lo likrov. The Gemara challenges and says, "How could you tell me, Rabbi Yehuda, that you can bring any karban on the bamas tzibur?" The pasuk says, "Ish yisharosu de likrov." The ish can only bring the yisharos. He can't just bring anything. So the answer was, "Kiksiv ish lahachshir es hazar." That's not what ish is for. Ish is to tell me that a zar can do the avoda on the bama. I don't need a kohen. To which the Gemara says, "I didn't need that pasuk to teach me that zar mivizaraka kohen es adama mizbach Hashem nafka." I have that from the fact that the Torah has to tell me that by the mizbach of Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash you need a kohen. That tells me that you don't need a kohen for Obama. Yeah, but Mao de Sema Liboy Kirish Bechoros Kimeikara. I might have thought that the default, once you're not using a Kohen, is to use a Bechor. We talked about this last week, and the question of were the Bechoros really the ones since Bereishis to bring Karbanos? After all, Hevel brings a Karban, Shame brings a Karban, and so on. It's not so clear that the Bechoros always did it. Nonetheless, I might have thought that the Bama should require a Bechor. Kamash Malan, and that's what I'm learning from Ish, that we don't default to Bechor. It can be a Zar. Fine. So the Gemara asks, Chachamim Hainu Tanakama. Chachamim 2 are the same as Chachamim 1. When it says Tanakama, it doesn't mean Tanakama. Rashi tells you, Rabbanan Basrai Hainu Rabbanan Kamoi. We're bothered that the Chachamim seem to be saying the same thing. They both said, the Chachamim 1 said Nedarim and Nedavos on a Bamas Tzibur, Ola and Shlamim on a Bamas Yachid, and the Chachamim Beis are saying the same thing. We're assuming now it sounds like Ola and Shlamim is the same thing as Nedarim and Nedavos, otherwise there isn't an identity here. So Amar of Papa answers, Karvan Nesachim Bamidbar Ika Beinayu. The Machlokas goes back to what we talked about last week as to whether they brought the Nesachim into the Midbar. If you take a look at Rashi, he walks you through this, Karvan Nesachim Bamidbar Ika Beinayu, L'Rabbanan Kamoi, according to the first Chachamim, Lo karvu nesachim b'midbar. They didn't bring nesachim in the midbar. Va'ola u'shlamim greater below nesachim kagamri de karvi b'bama. And therefore, a deduction as far as what you can do on a bama is limited to ola and shlamim, and not nesachim. Midbar lo karvi. In the midbar, you didn't bring it. Why? Dechi savau de parashas nesachim. The pasuk we saw last week from parashas shlach, when the Torah says ki savau, that's lat ina nesachim b'mishkan shilo asa. That was specifically that nesachim should be required in shilo la'achar yerusha v'yeshiva after the first 14 years. That's what it's for. Kedamrin ba'ashochet. We already saw that gemara. We talked about whether you need a kli shareis. That was in the same sugya. The rabbanon basrai, whereas the latter rabbanon the tafuye asu, they come to add to those previous. They had the extra quote, anything that Tzibur brought in the Olmoed and the Midbar, you brought in Gilgal. Why did they make that statement? What were they trying to tell me is included? It's not to anything new to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said already that on a Bamas Tzibur you can do everything. This is what they should have said. In both places, a Yachid Yachid only brought Ola and Shlamim. If they just want to disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and say the Yachid can't bring everything, that's what they should have said. They shouldn't have said everything that went on in the Midbar went on in Shiloh. El Tafuye Adurabanan Kamoy Asu. It must be that they're coming to add to what the original Chachamim said, the Chachamim Aleph, so to speak. And they're saying, Kol Shat Sibur Tzrichin Lahakriv, the Bach takes out the next word, Baal Moed Sheba Midbar, Makriv and Baal Moed Sheba Gilgal, anything that Sibur was required to bring in the Oal Moed in the Midbar went in the Oal Moed in Gilgal. Anything they were required to bring with their Karbanos. What does that mean? Ulatafuya Nesachim also, it's adding the Nesachim. Well, the Maimar to say, De Karvu Ba Midbar Let Sibur Uliyachad, that you brought Nesachim both for the communal Karbanos and for the private ones. Vechin Begil, that was Midbar. Vechin Begilgal, Bish'as Habamos, the Bach says. And so too in Gilgal at the time of the Bamos, you did it too. Ulaman De Islay Karvu Ba Midbar, Islay De Karvu Ba Bamas Yachid Begilgal. And according to the view that they're bringing the Nesachim in the Midbar, they're also bringing it even on a private Bama in Gilgal, not just Bama Tzibur in Gilgal, but even Bama Yachid. The Chi Savau, when the Pasuk says Chi Savau, lo as el atina nesachim the Bama Kitana, that means to include nesachim for even the Bama Kitana, the Gedola Kvar Ayu Kraven, because on the Gedola they were already doing it in the Midbar. In other words, your expansion from when you're on the Midbar to when you're in Gilgal is that in the Midbar you're only doing nesachim on the Bama Tzibur. You come into Gilgal, even a Bama Yachid is going to have it. So that's why Rashi explains that this is a debate about Karvan Nesachim Bamidbar. It's not that there's anything inherent in the words of the Chachamim that we read in that initial Brisa that would have said Nesachim. It's simply that the extra verbiage tells me they must be including something we didn't already know. Because you didn't need all those words to tell me you disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. That for sure wasn't necessary. It must be there to teach me there's some additional component that you were bringing in the Midbar. What additional component could there be? Must be Nesachim. That's how we get it. Okay. We're now on the last leg of analyzing this brisa, and we get to Rabbi Shimon. Omar, my Rabbi Shimon, Omar, Rabbi Shimon's stance was that on the in the Tzibur, in the Bamas Tzibur, brought the Chovos that had a Zman Kavua, as well as a Karban Pesach. He doesn't discuss Yachid on a Bamas Tzibur, he doesn't discuss Yachid on a Bamas Yachid. All he does is disagree regarding what you could actually bring in Gilgal on the communal Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, my time made Rabbi Shimon. What's Rabbi Shimon's logic? Dichsiv, it's a Pasuk. We have here the Pasuk they quote from Yoshua's Vayasu B'nei Yisrael as a Pasach Ba'Gilgal. In the margin they tell you that's not quite to the pasuk. This is the first time of two on this amud that we're in this daf really that we're going to see a misquote from Yehoshua, which is kind of odd. But in the margin they give you the pasuk Vayachanu b'nei Yisrael ba Gilgal Vayasu as haPesach. They camped in Gilgal and they did the Karban Pesach. So Rabbi Shimon says Pshita. Of course they did the Karban Pesach. It was the 14th of Nisan, wasn't it? Ella haKamash Malan deChovos keEin Pesachu deKarev. It's teaching me that they brought not just the Karban Pesach, but any other chova that was like the Karban Pesach, meaning that had a fixed time to be brought. Halav kein Pesach lo karev, but if it didn't have a fixed time to be brought, you didn't bring it. This is remarkable that he assumes this is pshita. The Mishnah Melech in Hilchos Karban Pesach in the first parak says, I didn't think that was so obvious. Tosus in Kiddushin points out that indeed we have a havamina that since Kisavou is after the 14 years of Kiddush V'chiluk, for all sorts of other purposes. Therefore, you shouldn't bring the Karban Pesach until after Kiddush V'chiluk, until after you have your initial conquest and division of the land. I don't know why you assume that Karban Pesach had to be brought. Remember that in the Midbar they didn't bring it because they didn't have Mila. So the Mishnah Melech answers that maybe Rabbi Shimon takes it as a given that this isn't what Kisavau means. In other words, he isn't of the opinion that Kisavau Ela Aretz means after the first 14 years, there's another Shita.
There's a Rashi that says
that
that's what it means.
Yeah. No, well, Rashi is only quoting the Tana that says that. The answer may be Rabbi Shimon disagrees. The Dan Zevachim quotes this and discusses it a little bit. But I just thought, like, wow, Pshita, no kidding. We're going to see another thing like that. We're going to see a Svara like that on the next Amud. So we'll get there. But that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon says, it can't be to teach me you brought the Karban Pesach. It must be to teach me you brought something else. Ve'idach. So now, what's going to go back the other way? What about the other Chachamim? So what are they going to do with this pasuk? Because obviously they must think it's Pshita. Oh, they use it for Rabbi Yochanan. Teach me a different lesson. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Bina Arel Mekabel Hazah. It teaches me a separate rule, which is that if you have somebody who is Tameh and needs to bring a Karban, you can do the Hazah of Shlishi and Shvi'i on him, even if He doesn't have a bris milah. He's still an Arel. Nonetheless, you can sprinkle the mechadas from the Parah Aduma on him, and it will work. That's the idea. How do you know that they were tamei in the first place? So that, that you're telling me this is what it's teaching me. So Rashi gives you the timetable here. How I know that they actually did this, that they sprinkled the Parah Aduma water on people who are still Arelim. Arel Rashi says, Shenitma b'meis, mekabel azav etar mitumas meis liga b'kachim. The Aleph Mehacha, you could do the Hazaa on this Ariel, this person who doesn't have a bris, and it'll work. The Aleph Mehacha, and deduce it from here. Dichsiv, as the Pasuk says, Ve'yazu as a Pesach ba Gilgal. Dimashmasha asa'u kilchasa b'mila b'tahara. He says, my assumption is they were not tamei when they brought this Karban Pesach. This was not a Karban Shokra of Bituma. That's not what we're talking about. My assumption is they did it right, and they did it with bris mila. V'ruban arelim ayu b'midbar. We know they were mostly arelim in the midbar. Dichsiv lo malu, in the same section there, and they did the whole Givaso Aralos, Varminum Biyavamas, and the Gemara Yavamas gives me the timetable. Basara Benisan Sha'avras Hayardin Lo Mahu Mishum Chulsha de Orcha. They crossed the Yardin on the 10th of Nisa. They're too tired to do Bris Mila at that point. It's not healthy. Ela Bechad Sarayudamal. They do the Bris on the 11th of Nisan. Vishtakach de Tmei Mesim. And we know that they were Tamei Meis. We find that Shayu Baem Sharei Ruban Tamei Meisim Hayu Shemesu Avosem Kolabam Shana Bemidbar, because the whole door had been dying in the Midbar. They have Venidbu Baem, and they became Tamei from those people who had died in the Midbar from doing the burial. There's a great discussion. They point out in Yavamos that they're burying themselves. So the answer is maybe they were Tumas Ohel. They were Mahil on the Kavaros.
First of on the 40th year.
Well, they stop on Tisha B'Av. Tu B'Av is when they notice that they've stopped dying, whatever that means. Yes.
Much later, but they cannot eat from the korban. No, this already that came to Israel.
They can.
They cannot.
They can. That's why they do the Mila. That's what he said. On the 11th of Nisan, they do the Mila. Yeah. So he says, this is a big problem, the question of why they're considered Tamei. I'm going to come back to it in a moment. If the Hazah didn't work, right, and they didn't become tahor, then there's no time after the Mila on the 11th of Nisan. You need to do the Hazah on the third day and then on the seventh day. So you're going to run out of time before Pesach. Revi Chamishi Shishi is when you need the break. If you don't do the Hazah until after the 11th of Nisan, the first one, you're not going to end up with enough time to do your 7th Hazah until the 15th of Nisan, which is too late to make it for the Karban Pesach. The Yevamos Yisrael Hadar of Yochanan Perakah, the whole sugya there is in Yevamos. Tosas discusses that they were Tamei. Ramban discusses that they were Tamei. They suggest maybe Rashi there rejects it, that they were Tamei because the rule is called a Parish Min Ha'arla, a Parish Min HaKever, that a person who gets a Mila is now automatically Tamei. It's leaving the Arla state is like leaving a Kever. But the problem with that is that it doesn't work because that's only by Gerus. That there's an automatic Toma that the Ger has to remove. They're not Gerim here. So this is not clear at all. The other question in this Sugya is, and Tosfos and Yavamos ask this, why shouldn't Hazaa work for an Arel? Why would I have thought that Hazaa doesn't work? So he's an Arel. Fine, so therefore he can't become Tahor. This is not so simple. Tosfos doesn't have an answer there. He leaves it as a tema. The Aruch Liner discusses it there. I'm just raising it as a question. The bottom line for us is that we want to understand why Rabbi Shimon says you can only bring Pesach and Chobos that have a Zman Kavua. The answer is he believes this Pasuk is superfluous regarding the Karban Pesach. They brought in Yehoshua to teach me you could bring Karbanos like the Karban Pesach. And the Chachamim will respond, no, that's not what it's there to teach me. It's there to teach me that they were able to be Matayar people even when they were Arelim. From Miriam first, but then once you get in, Miriam's well stops, and then they get it restarted with the rock that Moshe hits. But yeah, apparently that works. The Medrash and Medrash Rabbah talks about that, but yes. Tani Tana Kamedu Rav Ada Bar Ava. It was taught in front of Rav Ada Bar Ava. This is the last piece on this discussion. Ein bein bama gedol le bama ketana ela pesach v'chovos hakavu alehem zman. He says the only difference between bama gedol and bama ketana is, as Rabbi Shimon said, Karban Pesach and the chovos that have a fixed time. So the Gemara wants to know, what does that mean? Where are you differentiating here? Where do you have a karban which has a kavua lozman and a non-kavua lozman version. Amar amrilei, I'm jumping the parentheses, titargi masnisach ba'olas chova. You must be talking about an olas chova, an obligatory ola, which Rashi says means, Rashi has the addition ba'ola, olo shal tmidin umusafin et sibur karvu bay. The olos of tmidin and musafin, aval chatas ha'kvua lozman, but if they have a fixed time, kigon si'ir regalim shal tzibur lo karvu ba. The ones of the Seir of Yom Tov, you actually did not bring. This is a tremendous problem, this Rashi. The Achronim go crazy over this Rashi, because you're going to tell me they weren't bringing the Olos of Yom Tov and of Yom Kippur. There's a whole discussion about how you did the Sar Lazazel in the Midbar. How can you do a Sar Lazazel if you don't have a Sar Lash? It's a great discussion, but it's not for right now. So he says, it must be talking about the Ola. The Ika Olas Nadava, because you have a voluntary Ola, and then you have the Olas, and then you have the Olos of the Tzibur. The Ichatas Yahidhu, because if you're telling me Chatas, or the version in the side margin, which seems to be Rashi's version, the Ichatas, Chatas Nadava Mi'ika. Our version is Chovos de Kavua Leizman Mi'ika. But I think the inside version that Rashi has works well. Where do you ever have a Chatas that's a Nadava to distinguish between Chatas that's obligatory and Chatas that's a Nadava? While you have the mincha, that's a chova, the mincha you bring voluntarily. Yeah, but kasava ain't mincha b'bama. We said yesterday, because the pasuk says zivchehem, you can't bring a mincha on a bama, according to at least one tana, and that's what we're following. So I need to distinguish between those that have an obligatory zman kavua version and those that are brought voluntarily. It only works with ola. Okay. That was the hard part for today. Now we get to the easy part. This Mishkan in Shiloh, we described in the Mishnah as having a stone structure and then having the ohel on top. So Menahani Mili, the Gemara wants to know where you got that from. How do you know this structure for Shiloh? So Amar B'chia Bar Abba Amar B'Yochran Kasev Echad Omer V'Tiviyehu Beis Hashem Shiloh. When Chana brings Shmuel to the Mishkan, it says she brought him Beis Hashem to the house of Hashem in Shiloh. The Kasev Echad Omer, but on the other hand, when Shiloh is destroyed, the pasuk says Va'itosh Mishkan Shiloh, he rejected the Mishkan of Shiloh. Mishkan, that's an alert. The Ohel Shikein Ba'adam, the Ohel that he had placed among people. Uchsiv Vayim'as Ba'ohel Yosef, Ubeshevet Ephraim Lo Bachar. This is in the same parak in Tehillim. He rejected the Ohel of Yosef. He did not choose the Shevet of Ephraim, so it's an Ohel. HaKetzad, how does this work? Lo Haisa Sham Tikra. It did not have a roof. Ela Avanim Milamatan Virios Milamalon. You simply had the hides, the curtains that were over the top, v'yaisa menucha, and that's what we call menucha, as we said, balkila basamarate ala menucha ve'ala nachala. That's the idea. We then said, kachim, kachim, if you remember the chart from the other day, in Shiloh, you could have kachim, kachim, lifnim, and aklam, and kachim, kalim, b'chol haroe, wherever you could see Shiloh. So the Gemara now needs to define what kol haroe means. Obvious ramifications for our Purim discussions, when you talk about where you could read the Megillah on the first day, the second day. So what does kol haroe mean? And we have three issues we need to clarify. Number one, what if there's an interruption between where I am and Shiloh, so I should be able to see it, but I can't? What if I can see it partially? And what if, based on where I am now, I can't see it, but if I were at a higher altitude, I could, or vice versa? I can see it because I'm at a higher altitude, right? The classic airplane Kriya Shema, when you can see the sun, Shaila. I can see it on the plane, but on the ground, down below where I am, I can't see the sun. So is that this man yet or not? So the Gemara first says, Minahani Mili, how do I know this whole issue of Kol HaRoeh, that you can bring the carbon when you can see Mishkan, that you can eat the carbon, I should say, when you can see Mishkan Shiloh? So first pasuk, Amar Boshaya. Boshaya says, Do Amar Kra, it's a pasuk, He Shomer Lacha Penta Alea Losecha B'chom Makom Asher Tireh. Moshe warns the Jews, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, don't bring your Ola anywhere you see. So he says, it says, Penta Aleh. Don't bring the carbon. B'chol makom asher tireh, any place where you can see the spot where you're supposed to bring the carbon, i'atamale, you can't bring the carbon, you can't do the avoda, avalata ochel b'chol makom shatarov, you can eat the carbon there. Maybe I should only drop down one stage. There's ha'alah, putting on the mizbeach. The step below that is shechita. Maybe I should be able to shecht it anywhere I can see Shila? Rabbi Yanai Omar Kra Sham Ta'aleh V'Sham Ta'aseh. He says no, because the pasuk says there in Shiloh you shall bring it on the Mizbeach and you shall do a Asiyah, which is the Shechita. So those two are Shiloh specific. What's left? Eating the carbon. So that's my first source out of four psukim that I'm going to bring to show that you could eat the kadshe kadshim at Shiloh as long as you can see Shiloh. That's my first approach. Second approach, Rav Avdimi Bar Chasa or Rav Avdimi Bar Chama Omar Kra, I have a pasuk. This is the second misquote. Velo Tanat Shiloh. Rashi says, Chipasti velo mitzasiv. He thinks he's in Shir Hashirim. The Chipasti bikashti velo mitzasiv. I haven't found this pasuk b'mikra. Avo mitzasiv, but I did find this one. V'nasav ha'gvul mizracha ta'anat shiloh. Giving the boundaries of Binyamin or Yosef, I forget which one is there in that pasuk. The pasuk says velo tanat shiloh, or really what it says really is vavar mizracha. The gvul goes v'nasava gvul mizracha. The gvul goes east. Tanat shiloh. And Rashi, Rashi gives you this pasuk, and the Marsha explains that they're bothered by the fact that there is no place called tanat shiloh anywhere else in Mikra, but we do know a place called Shiloh which belongs in that chelak of Yosef. So therefore, it must be that Ta'anat is a play on words. Think of what we did in Yoshua also with the grave of Yoshua. He's buried in Timnat Cheres, and they have this whole play on Timnat Cheres, and there was a volcano, and it erupted, and all that. And I'm sorry, that's Hargash over there. But the whole discussion there of Timnat Cheres and Timnat Serach is because we have places being named that we don't know of elsewhere. And we assume, therefore, it's a play on words. So we assume here, Ta'anat Shiloh is a play on words. What is your play on words? Makom shekol haroa oso mis'anach olav al achilas kadshim shiloh. The place where anybody who could see Shiloh would groan, remembering, that's where we could eat the kadshim. I remember groaning in a positive way. Wow, it was great to eat karbanos there. The Gemara links Ta'anat and Mit'anach, which is not a grammatic linking. It's an audio linking. The words sound similar. Ta'anat is actually, if it's going to be to groan, it's going to be from Oni, Ona'a. Or Ta'aniyah Va'aniyah. Mit'anach is from Anacha. Different words. But it's not about the grammar. It's about what the words sound like. That's all we care about. Rabbi Avo Omar Krab Bain Parat Yosef Bain Parat Alei Ayin. I'll bring you a third pasuk. Bain Parat Yosef, the bracha to Yosef. Bain Parat Alei Ayin, the one who withdrew his eye. We're understanding Alei Ayin like to withdraw the eye. Ayin Shelo Ratzta Lizon Velehenos Vidavar Sheino Shelo. The eye that did not want to benefit from that which was not his. Meaning, of course, Eshet Adonav, Rashi says, Potiphar's wife. Tizge Vetocha Kamlo Eina Kolena. So she gets to eat, meaning Yosef gets. You can eat wherever you can see from Shiloh. And the last pasuk, but it's still along similar lines, Rabbi Yosef Echanina Amar Ritzon Shochni Zineh. He takes us to the Bracha Mezos HaBracha, but it's the same idea regarding Yosef. Ritzon Shochni Zineh. Ayin Shlaratz Dalehenos Midabar Sheino Shaloh Tizke Betocha Bein Hasnu'in. The eye that did not want to benefit from that which was not his will eat among those who hated, by which he means, as Rashi says, Shar Shvatim Shesan Uhu, the other Shvatim who hated Yosef. So he gets to eat the Karbanos near Shiloh. That's the idea. So we've brought four psukim to show that you can eat the Karbanos as long as you can see Shiloh. And now we get into what it means, where you can see it. Tana, we learned. Ro'esh Sha'omru. When we say roe kulo, v'lo amafsik beino leveino, it means you have to really be able to see it. In the side margin, they give you another addition, same idea. Roe sha'amu kol shu roe ve'ein davar mafsik beino leveino. The point is, no interruptions. If there's a wall in between, you can't eat. Amar le Reb Shmuel ben Rabbi Shimon ben Eliyakim le Rabbi Elazar. Asbara lach kigon be knishta de ma'on, or asbara li kigon be knishta de ma'on. Rabbi Shimon ben Eliyakim says to Rabbi Elazar, I'll explain it to you. It's like the be knishta in ma'on. You can see Shiloh from there. The Rasha says it has to be asbara li, because Rabbi Elazar was his Rebbe. He can't say, I'm going to explain to you. So it must be Rabbi Lazar explained to me. Amar of Papa, Rav Papa says, Roe sha'amru lo roe kulo, el roe miktsasa. Rav Papa, though, says, it's sufficient to see even part of it. Then he asks, Boy Rav Papa, omid v'roe yoshe ve'eno roe mai? What if he can see it standing up, but he can't see it sitting down? And Boy Rav Yirmi, a follow-up question, omid agabe anachal v'roe? What if you can see while you're standing at the top of the valley, or the top of the stream? But then Yoshev, or without Yoshev, you descend into the lower area, you won't be able to see. Mai, then what? And the answer for both is, Teku. Fine. that brings us to a separate discussion about whether this was really in Yosef's portion or in Binyamin's portion. The reason this is here is only because we're going to be borrowing the same psukim that we saw before, and we're talking about Mishkan Shiloh, but this is an official tangent. The Kiyasa Rav Dimi, enjoy it. Kiyasa Rav Dimi, Yama Rebbe. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, and he cited Rebbe as saying the following. B'shlosha mekamos sharsa shechina al Yisrael. The shechina was manifest in three places. B'shiloh, v'nova v'givon, u'beis olamim. Those are my three spots. The Maharsha jumps on this and says, what are you talking about? Hashem wasn't in the Mishkan in the Midbar. Hashem wasn't in the Mishkan in Gilgal. So he says, maybe you're only listing those that are in Binyamin, but the better answer is the Midbar doesn't count because it's Chutz La'aretz, and Gilgal doesn't count because it's the years of conquest. He means those years that were really planted. So he says, Shiloh, Novin, given in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Karen Ora explains, practical application of this is Aliyah L'Regel. The Chiyuv of Aliyah L'Regel is tied to it because Hashem is there. So in all three, he says it's in Binyamin's portion. This was a big surprise, because we just read that Shiloh was in Yosef. The Pasuk says, Chofef alav kol ayom, kol chafifos lo yu, ela b'chelko shel Binyamin. Chofef, we understand, like to cover something. So he says, the Hashem covers us only in Binyamin's chelak. That's that bracha of Chofef alav kol ayom, uvein ksefav shachain, that's regarding Binyamin. So Kiyazil Abaye, Amar Kamedra of Yosef, Abaye learned in front of Rav Yosef, and he tells this lesson in front of Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef blasts him. Amar, Rav Yosef says to him, Chad bra havale la Kailil of lo mitkan. You know, Kailil had one son, okay? And this son doesn't get it. That's his statement to Abaye, which is really rude when you consider that Abaye is a Yasum. Right? I mean, his father is Nifter, and this is where you invoke his father. But it's doubly cruel, given the next line. These psukim in Tehillim note that the Mishkan was in Yosef's chelek. Hashem rejected the Mishkan in Yosef's chelek. So how can you tell me it's in Binyamin's chelek? The reason it's doubly cruel is because, remember the Gemara in Chagiga? What family is Abaye from? Beis Eli, which was the one that lost Shiloh. So it's doubly cruel. He's insulting his father, Kailil, and he's insulting Abaye's Mishpacha from Beis Eli. Nonetheless, that's what Rabbi Yosef says to him, very sharp. He says, how can you tell me it's in Binyamin? We know it's in Yosef. So I'm Rav Ada, Micah Kashilai. Rav Ada says, that's not a problem. Dilma Shechina b'chelek Binyamin, v'senhedri gedola b'chelek Yosef. Maybe the part where Hashem was manifest, that's Binyamin. And the Sanhedrin is in the part that's Yosef. The two are side by side. Midmatzinu b'beis Yehuda, right? The Lishkas Hagazis was in Yehuda. That's what the Sanhedrin said in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Shechin is manifest in the part that's Binyamin. Amar Lei, to which the reply came, Hachi Hashta, here is now. You can't compare the two. Hasa Mikrava Nachlos Gabi Adadi, that worked for Yehuda and Binyamin and Yerushalayim. Their portions were juxtaposed. They were side by side. Hachami Mikravan, here, are they close together? Yeah. Hachanami Mikrovan. Yes, they are actually. Look on a map. Kedam Rabbi Chanina said regarding the Beis Hamikdash. Ritzua Haisa Yotzes Mechalko Sheyuda Venechnasas Lechalko Shav Binyamin Ubahayim Isbeach Bano Ibeya Binyamin Atzadik Mitzara Leel of Olah. You remember this discussion? We had the whole discussion when they expanded the Mizbeach. Did they end up moving it out of this alignment? But the alignment was that the Mizbeach was built in this little strip of Yehuda that entered into Binyamin, and Binyamin wanted it. Hachinami ritzua haisa yotzeis mechalko sheyotzeis lechalko shel Binyamin. So to hear a strip left Yosef's portion and entered Binyamin's portion. V'ainu dichsiv ta'anat shiloh, and that's ta'anat shiloh, that Binyamin wanted this portion that actually belonged to Yosef. No one explains in this Gemara why it was that Binyamin was zocha to this Hashra Shechina. I wonder if it's because he doesn't bow to Esav. Could be because he's born in Eretz Yisrael, that's a good thought. He doesn't have a chet, he's one of the four in the Gemara and Shabbos that are in Chote, also true. So maybe these are reasons. I looked in the Mefarshim on this Gemara, and I couldn't find anybody who explained. It could be if they explained it elsewhere, because this comes up in other sugyos. It could be that they explained it there. But here's a great machlokes tanoim with a tie-in for Pesach. Remember this for Pesach. Kitanoi, they match this up to a brisa. Chofef alav ze mikdash rishon, right? Chofef alav kayom uvein ksefav shachain. So chofef alav is the first Beis HaMikdash, that he wants it to be in his share. Kol ayom ze mikdash sheni, that's the second Beis HaMikdash, uvein ksefav shachain elu yimos HaMashiach. Okay, those are the ones that Binyamin get, that where Hashem is in Binyamin. So in other words, not the Mishkan. That's the Tanakama. It starts with the Beis HaMikdash that Binyamin has it. Mishkan is in Shiloh. That's Yosef's Chelek. Rebbe disagrees. Rebbe Omer Chofef Alav Ze Olam Hazeh. That's this world, meaning including the Mishkan. Kol Hayom Eli Mos HaMashiach. Ubein Sefer Shachin Ze Olam Abba. That's, so what does this remind you of from the Haggadah? Yimei Chayecha Yomim, Koy Yimei Chayecha Leilos, or Yimei Chayecha Olam Hazeh, Koy Yimei Chayecha Leavilim Os HaMashiach. So the Karen Ora says it's a parallel machlokas. It's the same machlokas about how I understand the word kol. Ben Zoma says, kol hayam, kol Yimei Chayecha means the night, the ancillary part of the day. Kol Yimei is the ancillary part of the day. So to here, he's going to say, kol is the second base HaMikdash, which is the add-on to the first base HaMikdash. Whereas the Rabbanan say it's Mashiach there, and the Chachamim say Kol here is the time of Mashiach, the time that's entirely Yom unto itself. So you tie in the Machlokes there with the Machlokes here about how I understand the expansion of Kol. I thought that was very interesting. Okay, the Karen Ora has another layer to it, but we got to go right there. Tana Rabbanan, we now get chronology. Yimei Olamot Shebemidbar Rabbanim Shana Chaser Hachas. Okay, we're going to go through these times one by one, but first we get it as a group. The Olamot in the Midbar is 39 years. Yimei Olamot Shebegilgal in Gilgal it's Arbaasri, 14 years. Zayin Shekivshu Bezayin Shechilku, 7 years of conquest, 7 years of dividing the land. Yes, I was thinking about it as we... Well, it's the consistent way that we count. We do it by the Malkos also. It's a consistent way to count. We mentioned the whole number minus one. I think it also has to do with the way they do math. But that's a whole other discussion. But yes, you're right. Same lashon. Yimei Olam Moed Shebenov VeGivon Chamishim VeSheva, 57 years in Nov and Givon Nishtayru LeShilo Gimel Meos VeShivim Chaser Achas, and which leaves for Shilo, here you have it again, 370 minus 1, 369 years. How in the world did you come up with this number? So we're going to go through it one by one. First, the easy one. Yimei Olam Moed Shebenmidbar Abam Chaser Achas. Olam Moed in the Midbar is 40 minus 1 Mindalon. How do I know that? Damar Ma'ar Shana Rishona Asa Moshe Es HaMishkan, because the first year you do the Mishkan, the end of the first year. Shnia hukam haMishkan, the second year they put up the Mishkan, v'shalach Moshe Meraglim, and Moshe sends the Meraglim, and then we know they're there for the remainder of the 40-year Midbar trip, that's 39 years. Sheba Gilgal Arbaasrei, Sheba Shechivshu v'Sheba Shechilku Minolan. How do I know the Gilgal years? So he talks about the seven of conquest. Dukamar Kalev, because Kalev says, Ben Arbaim Shona Anochi b'shalach Moshe Eved Hashem Osimi Kadesh Barnei L'Ragela Saharetz V'Hashiv Osa Davar Kasherim Livavi. Kalev says, I was 40 years old when Moshe sent me as a Meragel. Moshe is Eved Hashem. Ayin Hei for Moshe is not all of Hashalom, it's Eved Hashem. But that's another discussion. Remind me some other time and I'll explain that more. But he says, I was 40 when I was sent as a meragel, uchsiv, and he says, now during the division of the land, when we finish the conquest, v'ata hine anochi ayom, ben chamesh u'shmonim shana, I'm now 85. So ki avrei liyardein bar kamahavi, how old was he when they crossed the Yardain? Bar shivin v'tamni, we assume that he was 78. Because he's 40 when he goes as a Meragel. We don't know exactly when his birthday was, but we're going to calculate him as 78. Ukamar, and now, after the conquest, Ukamar ben Chamesh, Ushmanim Shalom, 85. Harei Sheva Shechilku. That's 7 years of conquest, 78 to 85. Visheva Shechilku Menalan, where do I get the seven of division? I love this line. Iba Yisema, if you want, I'll tell you, Midesheva Shechivshu Sheva Nami Shechilku. Well, it took you 7 years to conquer it, so it takes you 7 years to divide it up. It's logical enough. It's a bureaucracy. Well, the way I look at it is, it took the Jews just as long to fight with each other as it took them to fight with the Canaanim. Which is a Shevach, because today it takes more. But Rashi says, Svara Ba'almahi, which just shows Rashi had a much greater mind than we did. If he knows why this is a Svara, that it's seven automatically, seven for this, seven for that. But the Gemara gives you, I saw that quote in the Margolios HaShas. He quoted a Chassidish Rebbe who said, that tells you, no, it wasn't the Chassidish, it was the Grizz, I'm sorry, who said that that tells you what their minds were like, and for them this was Svara. We don't know why this is so. V'Iba Yisema, alternatively, Midalo Mishkachas LaBarbas Reshana Achar Shehuksa Ha'ir. I'm going to unpack this without the Rashi. Rashi gives it to you at length. But the idea is that we know that the Churban of the first base HaMikdash is 850 years after they enter Eretz Yisrael. That we know. And we know that 14 years after that Churban is Yovel. So therefore it must have been in the 36th year of the cycle. The only way that's going to work, because 850 is a round number for Yovelos, so the only way that this is going to work is if the Yovel count started 14 years after they entered Israel. 14 years or 64 years or 114 years, whatever it is, that's the only way that the Churban occurs in year 36 of the cycle. So therefore, you had to have a 14-year delay after they entered before they started. Therefore, it must be that it's a seven-year thing. Rashi walks you through the entire count.
Yovel's the 50th year?
Yes. The assumption is that it's every 50 years and that it's not thrown off. Yeah, so you're asking about the...
So what is that brought as an argument in terms of this? Because elsewhere there's a discussion of whether it's 50 or not.
Right, that's the Gemara in Erchin.
Right.
And that's where it becomes a real mess.
So this isn't brought up as
a... As a raya?
Part of the argument.
So I think it actually is.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, this is brought in the Erchin discussion. But yes. Okay, so that's how I know that it's Sheva Shechilku, because I know that you had to be in the 36th year of the Yovel cycle when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Ergo, must be that they had a 14-year offset in the beginning, because it's 850 years, an even number, to Churban. So here we go, 57 years in Nov and Givon. How does this work? You have to watch this carefully, because they play sleight of hand. They start talking about where the Aron was moved, and that's what throws you off when you read this. You have to be very careful. The Menalan, how do I know this count? Dichsev, the Pasuk says, Vayehi kizkiro es Aron ha'Elokim. This is by Eli, right? When they kizkiro es Aron ha'Elokim, they mention that the Aaron had been taken. Eli falls back and he dies. V'tana k'shemes Eli akoin harva shilo. That's when Shilo was overrun by the Plishtim. Ubol l'nov. And they came to Nov. And by the way, this is irrelevant, but we mention it. K'shemes Shmuel haramasi harva Nov ubol l'givon. If you want to know when Nov was destroyed, that was when Shmuel died. The uchsiv. And then the pasuk says, "Vayhi miyom sheves ha'aron bekiryas yarim, vayirbu ayam and vayiyu esrim shana, vayinahu kol beis Yisrael achrei Hashem." It was from when the Aron was in Kiryas Yarim, and this is where they throw you off. But the Aron is in Kiryas Yarim at the end of Shiloh, and then it was 20-year period before the Aron was brought back by David to the house of Avinadav. And there, it's there until David brings it to Obed Edom, and then to Ir David. But it's not germane for us. We don't really need to know about this 20-year number. It'll work out with our math, but it's not germane. But the Jews then follow Hashem, and we get the Aron back. Vayinahu, Rashi says there, and the pasuk is Mashchu. Others give other explanations for it, but the point is they followed Hashem. So, end of quote of the pasuk. Hani Esrim Shana, that 20-year period is as follows. I gave it to you on the sheet. 10 years, Shmuel is in control after Eli dies. Vishana Shamalah Shmuel Vishal. There's 1 year of Shaul's reign when he is together with Shmuel. He's following Shmuel's instructions. Then you have the war with Amalek, and there's a split. Ushtayim Shamalah Shaul. You have 2 years when Shaul is king on his own without Shmuel's guidance. Visheva de David. And then 7 years of David's reign, his first 7 years, before he brings the Aron back, that's a total of 20, correct. But it doesn't matter for us. Dichsiv. Nothing. It's only there to teach me that that's your 20-year count. The reason I need to know about the 20-year count is only because I want to know how you know about the 1 year and the 2 years of Shaul. It helps me with that math, but it's not germane for our discussion at all.
It's part of this 57.
It is part of the 57, but you'll see. I'll show you when we finish the psukim here. Dichsiv vayamim asher malach David al Yisrael mem shana. David reigns for 40 years. Vechevron malach zayin shanim. In Chevron he reigns for 7 years, and then after that he becomes melech over everybody. So ubishlomo ksiv vayachal ivnosa bishnas harba lamalchuso. He starts building the Beis Hamikdash in the 4th year of his reign.
So 33 plus 4.
What happens is the way you do the math, really, ignoring what we just did here, is 10, 1, 2, that's 13, 40 of David is 53, 4 of Shlomo is 57. That's the easy way to do it.
Okay.
The more complicated thing that we just did was to prove that the initial 20 are really 20 until the Aron returns, and then after that you add David's remaining 33 years, and then the 4 of Shlomo.
10, 1, 2.
And look on the sheet. Do you see the bottom line on the sheet, or did you not get one? It's Shmuel is 10, Shmuel Shaul is 1, Shaul is 2 independently, that's 13. Then David is 40, is 53, and then Shlomo is 4, is 57. Only to prove that the first 20 are really 20. Only to tell me that your first years until the Aron returns are 20 years. In other words, that gives me the count for Shaul's years. Shaul's years with Shmuel, Shaul's years without Shmuel.
That 20 is part of the 57.
Yes, that's correct. We have one line left. Nishtairu l'shilo shlosh meos v'shim chaser achad achas. So 369 years are left for Shilo. Once you do the rest of your math, knowing that it's 480 years from the time that they leave Mitzrayim until the time that they build the first Beis Hamikdash. So if you subtract the years that we had for Mishkan in the Midbar, 39, another 14 years for division and for conquest and division, another 57 years for Nova Givon, you're left with 369 years. Well, I'm going to catch him.